This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing and two to Jose Altuve. Left-hander out of Vanderbilt comes to the set. He delivers. Swing and a miss. He chased the changeup down and away. That's strikeout number nine and six scoreless innings for David Price.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
David Price, recent AL MVP, Mookie Betts, and cash, just for good measure, heading from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. And the Dodgers not giving up a whole lot. Alex Verdugo also trading Jock Peterson. We're going to get the deets here momentarily. Joe Castiglione, the voice of the Red Sox radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And we are pleased to welcome Michael Duarte, who's got a lot on his plate these days. He covers the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Rams, other LA sports for NBC LA. And he's also our go-to for LA sports. And Michael, I know that this deal was in the works, at least a deal to get Mookie Betts for a while. Ultimately, what got it done for the Dodgers?
Great question, Amy. I hope you're back from Miami with sunny tan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What ultimately got this done was the decision to take on David Price. I had mentioned or heard from sources months ago, I guess, when this first happened. And so I guess I'll kind of break down from you kind of the way this went with the Dodgers. Their first choice was to sign a big free agent. Gerrit Cole was their big fish, the target they wanted to get. They offered 8 years, $300 million. As we all know, they got outbid by the Yankees, who went for 9 years and more money. So the Dodgers pivoted. They wanted Anthony Rendon, but Rendon didn't want the quote-unquote Hollywood lifestyle. So he goes up 20 miles into Orange County with the Anaheim Angels. The Dodgers then pivoted to trying to get somebody via trade. And that first target and their first priority was Francisco Lindor, the shortstop for the Cleveland Indians. Mm. The Indians, though, seemed really hesitant to want to trade him. So as it was reported, they asked for some final offers for him. They got those final offers. And what we see now is that they decided to hold on to him and not trade him yet. While those talks with Francisco Lindor stalled, the Dodgers pivoted to the Red Sox. At the time, I thought this might have been a leverage decision, right? Saying, okay, Indians, if you don't want to do this, then we'll just go get Mookie Betts from the Red Sox in hopes that maybe the Indians would come back willing to now trade Lindor. But that was the first manifestation of this talks between the Red Sox and the Dodgers. Hmm. And my sources told me at the time the Red Sox, in order to send Betts to the Dodgers, wanted to include David Price in the deal. And the first time they had this conversation, my sources said that the Dodgers kind of balked at that and said, well, if we're going to take on David Price's 3 years and $96 million, then you got to take some of our bloated contracts like A.J. Pollock and some guys like that. So, you know, the talks really didn't go further. It seems like in recent weeks, the Red Sox realized they weren't going to reach an extension with Mookie Betts. They weren't willing to meet his price tag, which is close to what Mike Trout got. We're talking 12 years, over $400 million. And so the Red Sox finally decided that they were going to move on. They re-engaged the Dodgers and the Padres for Mookie Betts and wanting to include David Price. The Padres arguably had better prospects. They have a better farm system than the Dodgers, but the Dodgers, both teams are the top five. But the Padres didn't have the money to absorb David Price. They didn't even have the money to absorb Mookie Betts and stay under the luxury tax threshold. So they were trying to get the Red Sox to take Will Myers' contract back in the deal. That didn't happen. So just in the last couple of days, the Red Sox reignited with the Dodgers, and it really came down to that final step, which was, can they include David Price? The Dodgers didn't want to take on David Price without the Red Sox paying cash back. As you see now, they're going to be paying more than half of the deal,
right?
And that enabled the Dodgers to finally pull the trigger on this deal.
Mookie Betts is going into the final year of his deal, which is one reason, or he's in the final year of his deal, which is one reason why the Red Sox were leery and maybe wanting to get a jump on this and get something in return for him. How much is that the Dodgers' concern that this is a one-year guy?
I think they knew going into this situation that there is a strong possibility that Mookie Betts turns out to just be a one-year rental. And as you saw with what they did with Manny Machado a few years ago, getting him at the trade deadline, you know, they're comfortable with that. But I think this is a home run, to use the appropriate pun in this conversation, for the Dodgers for multiple reasons. And Andrew Friedman has always said to me when I've had multiple conversations with him and anybody in the media that he is willing and open to make any deal out there that he thinks will make the team better. But he's not going to be pressured to do what he calls a stupid deal. It has to be a smart deal. So in this situation, you're talking about this kind of hitting all those boxes. It's a deal that will appease the fan base, who after losing back-to-back World Series and getting bounced in the first round by the eventual champion Washington Nationals in the NLDS, are so hungry for a big move and for whatever they believe will put them over the top for the World Series. So that checks that box for those Dodgers fans and the fan base. And then it also is a smart move in the sense that, like you said, Alex Verdugo, you know, a rookie last season, a top prospect for them a couple years ago, he was a guy that had been on the trading block for the Dodgers last offseason. He was part of the talks with the Indians for Corey Kluber. They had talked about a Starling Marte trade with the Pirates with Verdugo. And Verdugo is part of this massively crowded outfield for the Dodgers.
Right.
So at the end of the day, he goes to Boston in this deal, and Kenta Maeda goes to Minnesota, which basically you're replacing him with David Price, who at, you know, 3 years, $16 million, $15 million is a great value, in my opinion, for a starting pitcher, a veteran of his caliber. And then in order to make the money work, you move Jock Peterson over to the Angels. It looks like another piece will be going there, too. So it kind of is a smart deal for him. Even if it only becomes a one-year rental for Betts, it works for the Dodgers. They would love to re-sign Mookie Betts, and I think they're hoping, similar to what happened with Machado, if you bring him in and show him the culture, show him what this organization is about, show him, you know, how they're in the playoffs each and every year, and just what this clubhouse is about. And it's kind of like a family, not the Hollywood lifestyle Rendon talked about, that hopefully Betts will want to stay, and they think they have at least a good shot at being in the conversation when he becomes a free agent at the end of the season.
But for how much money, though? The Dodgers, while they do have a lot of big-name guys, they weren't willing to break the bank on Gerrit Cole.
Well, they're willing to go 8 years, $300 million for Gerrit Cole. To me, the problem is going to be, when it comes to Betts, those years, right? From what I've been told from those involved, Betts wants a long-term deal similar to Mike Trout. And as I just told you before, 12 years over $400 million.
Yikes.
The Dodgers have never been willing to go that far in a deal. They weren't willing to do it for Bryce Harper 2 years ago. They weren't willing to go the extra mile for Gerrit Cole this last offseason. So I would believe that once Betts does become a free agent at the end of the year, those conversations will start with maybe a smaller deal with opt-outs or options for Betts in there at a higher AAV than maybe even Mike Trout's getting on his deal. And we'll see if that gets it done. Again, that's just speculation right now, but just knowing how this front office operates, I can't see them handcuffing themselves to Mookie Betts for 12 years when you're going to have to re-sign Cody Bellinger soon. You're going to have to re-sign Walker Buehler soon. There's a lot of other deals they're going to have to make. So this is definitely an all-in for 2020 move, and they're going to hope they're going to get it done. But they would like to, you know, at least try to go get Betts after the season's over.
Michael Duarte from Los Angeles covers the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Rams, everything else going on for NBC LA and one of our favorites here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to pivot now. What's it like at Staples Center in the last few days as the Lakers get back to basketball?
Yeah, you know, you were flying down to Miami when I came on your show after the death of Kobe Bryant recently. I will say, this has been a very tough week here in Los Angeles. It's still very surreal. It still feels like a shock that Kobe Bryant is gone. It was extremely emotional on Friday night against that Portland game with all the pregame tributes. And I thought the Lakers hit the right tone with it. And they absolutely were perfect as far as the guests they brought in, the names and the tributes that they did. But it's been a very difficult week, I'm not going to lie. And I feel like with the fact that the memorial outside of Staples Center here in LA Live and the murals that they had for Kobe were cleaned up yesterday, tonight's game against the Spurs was the first time it really felt like a sense of normalcy was returning. there wasn't the same tributes they were. Yes, his jerseys were still hanging in the rafters, 8-24. There was numerous Kobe chants throughout this game tonight. But for the first time, it seemed like there was a little bit of a sense of normalcy and getting back to routine with this Lakers team and with some of the fans here at Staples Center.
Just have a couple of minutes, but we pulled some of the audio from Dwight Howard, and so you put it up on your Twitter account, and we grabbed it. But I would love to hear in your own words what Dwight Howard had to say about his relationship with Kobe.
Yeah, thanks. And I'm glad you're bringing that up. You know, it's funny because on Friday night, when it was our first chance to speak to the players after the game, Dwight Howard was one of the guys I wanted to get. And he respectfully asked PR and us, the media, if he could not talk that day. So tonight was the first night we got a chance to hear Dwight Howard's first public comments about his teammate Kobe Bryant. And what he said was, there was a lot of things that he said. The first thing that I said to him off camera, by the way, off the record a little bit, was that his words on Saturday night, the night before Kobe passed, when LeBron James passed him on the all-time scoring list, he said, we should honor these greats like Kobe Bryant, like Michael Jordan, like Karl Malone, while they're still alive, when these guys are passing them. We should honor them now, while they're alive, not later. So I told him those words had a very eerie feel to me after what happened less than 12 hours later with Kobe. And he reiterated that to me and said he actually, after he said that to the media on Saturday night in Philadelphia, he immediately wanted to text Kobe and say, hey, Kobe, just want to know how much I appreciate you, how proud I am of you and your accomplishments. And he said he didn't do it. And he actually said he was the first player on the Lakers team plane flying back from Philadelphia to L.A. He was on his phone at the time, and he saw the news. And he said he immediately started waking up all his teammates to say, something happened to Kobe, something happened to Kobe. Mm. So he says he was the first one to kind of spread the word on that team plane, and he immediately rushed to the bathroom on the plane and started crying. And what it sounded like from hearing him speak was he had so much respect and admiration for Kobe, and he wants the narrative of the fact that they didn't like each other or they didn't get along in that one season while Dwight was here when he played with Kobe, I think in 2012. And he wanted them to know that, yeah, they had disagreements, but he said they were just two different players at the time, right? Kobe's at the tail end of his career, and he wants to win a championship, and he was hungry for that. And Dwight's coming off an injury. He had just gotten traded, and he's kind of a happy-go-lucky, fun guy. He didn't have that killer Mamba instinct yet, and he wasn't willing to do whatever it took to win. And he wants players and people to know and the fans out there that he's now ready to do whatever it takes to win for this Lakers team. And he wanted Kobe to know that, too. Mm. And his biggest regret is that he didn't get to tell Kobe how much he appreciated him and respected him and admired him and how much he meant to him and how much that season meant to him and how much it changed him. And the final thing I'll say, because I know you don't have much time, is he had actually reached out to Kobe. And Kobe was going to help Dwight Howard with the NBA dunk contest coming up here in just a couple weekends in Chicago. So that was a done deal. Kobe was going to go out and assist on one of the dunks. And I think Dwight thought that might have been the moment he would get to talk to him and tell him these things. And now it's not going to happen. And you could tell on the look on his face and his body language, he's been really broken up about this, and it's been really heartbreaking for him.
Mm, for sure. The message, again, just like Shaquille O'Neal, don't wait. You can find those videos with Dwight Howard on Michael's Twitter account, at Michael J. Duarte. I know you've had a busy evening, lots of breaking news, covering everything for NBC LA, and we appreciate a few minutes. Thanks so much, Michael. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for bringing me on.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.